This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 669 with guest Marv B. Recorded on January 29th, there it is, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in what is a warming up Bellevue, Nebraska. But Marv, our temperature and your temperature could be the same sometime tomorrow. Is that what you were telling me? You
got cold this weekend. Yep. Yeah. So We are scheduled Sunday night. Actually, they've just upped it. We're going to wake to a low of 33 Sunday morning.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We had last week, we had Oscar on, right? Hadea, and he was in Miami and he was making fun of me because it was going to be 72 or whatever. Now, Miami's a little bit farther south. I'm sure they won't be as cold, but
it's probably not as much, but they're only 30 miles from us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fort Lauderdale sits in between West Palm and Miami.
That's right. So. I always think you're farther north for some reason.
Everybody always assumes I'm from Orlando because I'm there so much.
That's maybe I was thinking you were in Orlando, but so you're not far away. Well, that is cold. Holy cow. Yeah. If you're getting 33, I think our Sunday temperature is 20. So, but that's not far from what it typically is. So,
well, but here's the difference. 33 in Florida. Might as well be zero.
No, right on. I understand. It doesn't happen very often. You're not very used to it. And, you know, you break out the winter jackets and all those other kinds of things. Well, we'll be our positive well wishes go to you for a 30 weekend. Anyways, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes out there at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. For you that are on that team, thanks for what you do. You do it every single month. You can join that team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, if you want to do it. Join for 1 month or as many as you want. Most of you have been out there forever. Thank you for doing that on Patreon. And then, of course, if you're purchasing on Amazon, and I've been doing a few Amazon purchases lately this week, head out to theaverageguy.tv before you buy. Click on the affiliate link there. There's a red link in the upper right-hand corner. Click on that. Helps out the network when you do that. Appreciate you doing that as well. Uncle Marv, Marv B is back. Marv, always great to have you on. Hey, what's been before we dive in a little bit? It's been a couple months since we've seen you last. What's new with you?
It's been longer than that, man.
Has it really? Maybe six months?
I was trying to see what talked about last.
Yeah. What was it? I'll have to look here.
Oh, I know. I just forgot that it was. I can tell you that getting ready to, we're in conference season. So I was already at one PodFest with our friend Dave Jackson earlier this month. And then starting in February, I will be gone 3 of the 4 weeks, 2 times in Orlando and all tech conferences. So we're gearing up for all of that, seeing all the latest that the vendors have. I will not be attending Florida Man this year.
Oh, what? How is that possible?
Because it was right smack in the middle of all those conferences.
All right.
And I'm like, yeah, is it really worth it for me to go? It will be fun for me to go over there.
But you have a Florida Man segment on your show still, right? Are you still doing that?
You know what's funny? I did not. So I started the year not doing that segment. Mm-hmm. And then I had people sending me stories as if to say, hey, if you need a story, here's one. So they were saying they missed it. So I sort of brought one back this past week, and it was Sheriff Grady Judd, America's favorite sheriff out of Polk County, and talking about a story. They arrested a man that was naked, and they tried to give him a trespass warning, but then he came back naked.
Still
naked, and so they took him in, and he was complaining about, you know, pain in his belly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and turns out they did the X-ray, and he had a thermos stuck up his behind.
Oh my gosh, Florida Man! There you go.
And of course, people are like, "How in the world did you get a thermos?"
It's surprisingly elastic, so you can. Yeah. Well, That's Florida for you, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, April was the last time you were on. It's been longer than I thought. And I was like, why has it been so long? I took a ton of time off in the fall.
You took the summer off.
Yeah, we just kind of got out of rhythm. So
yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back. We're gonna spend a little time talking about answering the question. I kind of put this in the Discord group. I kind of asked the question, how practical is Unify for home use? We're gonna talk about that here in a second. But Marv, I've had a problem in the basement. So here in the basement, typical Midwestern home has a floor drain right in the middle. You know, everything slopes to it. But in the old days, your washer and dryer, if that overflowed, or your furnace and maybe air conditioner needed a place for the condensation stuff to go to, and you would run, as a basement. People didn't live in these things. They were just basements. And so it would run to the floor drain. Well, we've turned this into fairly livable space down here. And of course, though, when you're living with it and when the pipes back up, where do you think the backup goes, right? Comes up through the floor drain, right? So, from time to time in the 25 years we've lived here, we've had that happen. Oh, maybe every 3 or 4 years, something happens. Call the plumber, they clean it out. But over the Christmas holiday, I couldn't get it. We just couldn't get it clear. I cleared it twice. I paid $435 for a plumber to come out and clear it. And it worked for a couple days and then it wouldn't clear again. So one of the things, is we're running showers or running the washing machine or the dishwasher, it was always kind of a slow flood. It was never like just bursting out of the pipes, right? It just kind of slowly started seeping up. And I thought, certainly there's some technology, right, that could help me at least know when that thing was starting to come up again. I am going to get it fixed, but it's taken a little while. So I picked up these Tapo water, smart water, or leak sensors. Have you messed around?
I've not messed with them, but I think that's what, 20, 30-year-old technology that you should have something like that. Should be pretty simple.
Well, it is actually, and they're not terribly expensive. I think I paid $20 maybe for these. I've got two of them. I just ordered a second for the hot water heater. I'll tell you why here in a second.
Is it the kind that just sends an audible alert, or is it smart and works with your, tablet? Yeah,
those are all great questions. It's like you're a podcaster. This is awesome. I should have you on more often. This is both audible, and then I had to pick up the first one I picked up. I didn't get the hub. And so as I was monkeying with it, I was trying the app and it wasn't connecting. And then it was like, oh, no, you need the hub. And so they sell, of course, a $20 hub that goes with it, right? And sits on the wall somewhere, and you can connect your devices to it. By the way, you can't do any firmware updates unless you have the hub. Uh-huh. So, but if you're just going to have one as an audible sensor and you don't need the hub to make it work, put it on the floor. It's got one button. You can tap it a couple times it's got three levels of the alarm and some of those kinds of things, which is super helpful. I conveniently turned it down the other day because we had a house guest and I didn't want them waking up to shrieking. And then of course the one time it flooded, it was all the way down, so we couldn't hear it. And, so I was like, okay, I'm buying another one. I'm getting the hub. And I bought a second sensor to go by the hot water heater. So one of the reasons I'm doing this now is because I plugged that floor drain. Like, I'm tired of...
Really?
Yeah. But, so everybody, as I've said that, everybody's like, it's going to back up into the house. I'm going to calm down, friends. I've thought this through. We actually have a utility sink down here as well, connected to the same or similar drains. And it's the lowest spot in the basement, the utility drain. So if it's going to back up, it's going to come back into my utility sink, which is a confined space. what I'm looking for is that water to be confined. I don't want it. I'm tired of it being on the floor. And then you got to clean up that mess with the utility sink. I can just clear the drains at this point, and I have higher spots to be able to run the snakes through. But I was just got tired of cleaning it off the floor. I don't know. When I said that, you had a look of alarm on your face. Did you?
Well, so remember, in Florida, we don't have basements.
Right, right.
So every knowledge I get comes from TV, you know, HGTV. And there's always something in the basement to pump out water when something like that happens. And I forget the name, sub pump or something like that.
We have a sump.
A sump?
Okay. Yeah, we have a sump. Yeah. But it's completely, the sump pump's on the other side of the house. It's meant any water coming in under from the outside underneath the foundation or in whatever, right, goes into the sump and then it gets pumped out. Now, to your point, if I had a massive flood in here, the sump pump would take care of me, right? If it got a foot, if I got a foot of water in here, the sump pump would kick in and start kicking water out, right? So, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. So thank you for thanks for reminding me. It's also, there's a low point is the door that goes out to the garage. So the water's actually going to make its way out through the garage before it goes. Yeah,
that's too much. That's why we have slabs in Florida and the slabs are built up. Yeah. So everything slopes away from the house.
Right on. Yeah. I'm going to have, I have a sneaking suspicion that is going to have some pipes replaced and have it dug up and replaced. But in the meantime, we'll talk about this on another show. I bought one of those cameras that's on a, 100 foot of, one of the plumber's cameras, snake camera. Yeah. You put it down in there. I bought one of those because if to call a plumber is $400, I got a camera for $250 and I'm like, I could probably check this out myself and it's going to be pretty obvious once you get down there what's wrong in the pipe. So, and I've always wanted one of those cameras. Don't tell Sarah that, but I've always wanted one of those. My neighbor has the snake. I now have a camera. I bought some really cool called ugly gloves for this kind of work. They're PVC gloves kind of thing. Yeah, for a guy who hates to do plumbing, I'm sure getting into it a lot.
I was going to say, that's a little much for me.
It is much. It's too much for everybody. Like, let's just be really clear. But I'm kind of frustrated with it. We've been living it here for 25 years, and it's like, oh, I gotta fix this. I just can't have it coming up through the floor. So at this point, I put some stoppers on the floor. I've got some back protection through the laundry sink. And this Saturday after Ask the Podcast Coach, the camera's going in. My house is getting a colonoscopy. I'm going in with the camera. I'm checking out the pipes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
I mean, I get it. It's your house. It's a big investment. It's weird. So when it comes to tech and gear.
Yeah.
I hear you. Spend that money. Get that stuff. You don't need it. But when it comes to the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah, see, I want the tools to do, like, and then here, our neighborhood's super close, so we loan stuff out to each other all the time. So I wanted to be the guy who had the camera in case one of the neighbors needed, like, hey, I'm having trouble getting this cleared. Can you, do you have the camera? We could snake it. I'm like, yes, I can. And it's super cool. The one I got has a 32 gig SD card in it, so you can record. You can record with it. I'll talk about it on a future episode after I use it this weekend to see if it actually works. It looked cool. The setup was cool. Yeah. Brought it out, put the camera on everybody. It's HD. Super cool.
How small is that? It's gotta be small. So for instance, I just bought this tiny little Ozbot mini thingy.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty small, it's smaller than a webcam, but to go on a snake, it's gotta be.
Yeah. The like head a is micro. Like the head. No, the head's about the size of a quarter.
Okay.
Remember change. I mean, pennies are gone now. So that we can't say that anymore, but
well, they're not gone. A lot of us have them.
There's a shortage in Omaha. There's a shortage. Everybody's like, we can't get them anymore. And there's been a penny panic here.
I've been using mine. I got mine in my car. Okay. I love it when I get people ask for, when I get the sale and they're like, oh, $2.27. I'm like, hang on.
I got this. I got two pennies for you. I got two pennies. Yeah. It's about the size of a quarter. It's got lights on it. You listen, the sensor in this webcam is pretty small, right?
Okay.
It's up here. So something like that. And then it's got lights. I've got like six lights around it. Just, and then it's on a flexible head. So you put that thing in there, just snake it down. So we're going to see. I don't know. I don't know if I can do it or not, but I'm going to give it a try. It's super cool tech, right? I could record the, if I wanted to record it going down there, this, it's got a DVR functionality on it. And you can kind of, I'm going to, Sarah's got the eye for detail. So I'm going to have her be watching the camera.
You're going to be spending your weekends doing that and not watching football.
Yeah, football's almost
over. There is no football.
It's almost over. We are to the very end. It feels like a season that's gone on for a long time. Have you used water sensors at all for like, I haven't either. And I've had enough leaks that I think at least an audible sensor, some like, I think you should probably have a water sensor at your hot water heater and under your sink, right? At a minimum.
Well, so we don't have a hot water heater. We have the hot water tank.
Yeah, or a water heater. I don't know why I call it a hot water heater. They're all hot water heaters. So
yeah, but ours is just a little, you know, square tank that's on the wall. So we're not. Yeah.
It's on demand. Water. You have an
on demand.
Yeah. Yep. On demand. Yeah. So, but you might want to put one underneath there if it started dripping. Would it ruin the floor if it started, like if something failed and it started dripping?
It would ruin a lot more because that's where the wife keeps all her laundry stuff and everything. So we would know pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting and not very expensive. And I'm going to hook them together with the hub. And in theory, we would get alerts. And I've had enough water. I'm just tired of it. So it's good. It's good. And Tapo seems to be taking over. Like their TP-Link, right? That's kind of their, and Casa, K-A-S-A. That was, is it Casa?
Okay. I saw Casa when I was looking at, So we're going to go out of order because I was
no,
going to.
No worries. Yeah, no worries. That's fine.
So I started looking at smart plugs for the home.
Yeah. Yep.
But I didn't want the lady stuff because I don't want the lady in my house.
The A-lady. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm thinking I'll look for these other ones. So the two names that I came across were G Home and Casa.
Yeah.
And what I was doing is, so I'll show you this. So this is a WattBox. So this is a device that I put in all my clients so that I can remotely power cycle servers if I need to without having to go on site. Now that looks pretty big, but they have a smaller one that I've been using for, you know, that usually fits in a server rack and we lost Jim.
I'm back.
So that fits in a server rack. So there's a smaller one that I would get for like internet server connections. So I would just need two, but I'm thinking these are a little much to get for the house.
How much are those?
So these are a couple $100.
Okay.
So this one's like $199 and the big thing is like $350 or whatever.
Okay. But so what are you trying to do? Like when you say too much for the house, like what are you trying to do with these plugs?
Then? Well, I mean, I would put one on the computer, but I'm thinking, okay, these smart plugs have to be doing similar things.
Oh, for sure.
Where, cause I know people get them for, you know, the Christmas tree lights. Like I have the little schedulers that it'll come on and off, but I wanted one where I could, you know, on my phone say, turn on the lights. But I also wanted to start doing it. I still wanted to have the ability, like if I'm going to get it for the lights, why not get it for the computers? And I wanted that same reboot ability, but it doesn't look like they do that. They just turn on or turn off.
They do turn on or turn off. But if you have your server set to, from a PC standpoint, like, so if you have it set to, what do they call it? Power state on, I forget the term of it. So if
Make
the
on
power
land?
Goes, no, well, no, these are, like there's a setting and there's a UEFI, there it goes, setting that says if the computer's on and there's a power loss, when the power comes back on, you turn yourself back on. And I, not all computers can do this.
Well, but
I
most, know that, yeah, most computers will do that.
Right, right.
The last state known or
last
whatever.
Last state, right, yeah. Yes, yeah. So if you had it plugged into one of these smart plugs, and I love Tapo. I've kind of gone Tapo on all my plugs too. Here, this is kind of what my Tapo, oh, I kind of see that there. that's kind of what that looks like. You can see the blue ones are on and the gray ones are off.
Okay.
And I could, from anywhere, you know, if it's off, turn it on and it, or turn it off and then turn it back on again. These, so you, if the PC would come back, right, then you could just reboot it with one of these. The thing I kind of like about them is they also monitor energy use. You got to get the right, get the more expensive version of it, but they'll monitor right. your energy use, tell you how much you're using, how long it's been on for, some of those kinds of things. And give you some feedback on what that, the juice, the wattage it's pulling.
So it looks like there's a version where you can actually just, it's your actual outlet if you want.
I'm sure by now they have an, you could replace it with an outlet. The one thing I don't like about that is that this, you always end up thinking like, oh, as soon as you put that thing in, you're like, oh, I want to move my computers around, you know, or
yeah, okay.
I put it somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like the plugs because you plug them in, they've got an on and off physical on and off switch on the plug. And then of course these are all connected. These are all Wi-Fi connected. So I can turn them off, turn them on and turn them off from anywhere.
Yeah, I'm looking on the Amazon right now. I'm checking it out. All right, and they're about the same price as the other ones I was looking at.
Yeah. What 16 are you seeing maybe? I've got them as cheap.
There's a 4-pack for $29 right now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I've gotten them. And that's $6, $7, $8 each for it, yeah. You know.
15 amps, so.
Yeah, I wonder if they make a 20 amp version.
So it's weird. So you can actually do a schedule and timer
mm-hmm.
as well mm-hmm. as the remote control.
Yep.
And there's a way mode.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of like, you can tie them all together so that when you leave from a proximity standpoint, whatever that trigger is, they'll just automatically shut off. So if you had outdoor lights or, you know, garage lights, some of those kinds of things where when you leave, it senses cool. that. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty handy. I probably have
that. I like.
Yeah, I probably have a dozen of them. So probably a little bit cheaper than $200 for the server grade ones that you put in there. Same kind of connectivity. Give it a try. They all have apps. I've kind of been standardizing on the Tapo, TAPO brand a little bit. That's TP-Link. They're the parent company or whatever, however that works. And they've worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah, they've got everything. Oh, they've got smart cameras too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they've kind of they're starting to get into everything. You know, recognize it's a Chinese brand, but they all are at this point. You know, but that's what I've liked. The one thing, Marv, is that it's been, you know, I have, you know, Philips lights, I've got some Wiz lights, I've got some, you know, I've got some TP-Link switches that then Casa came along. So I've got some Casa switches. Now when they went the Tapo line, TP-Link did, they kind of said, well, we'll bring in all the Casa stuff too. Sort of, right? Kind of thing. You know, so it's just getting everything. It is nice to have it in a single app from time to time to be able, you know, like with the Christmas tree, I should have shut that off before I left the house.
Right.
Log in, boom, it's off. Some great functionality on that. You can set scenes like you can with anything else. So if you wanted to group three of them together and say, hey, I want to shut them off all at the same time, or you can, they have automations that you can set them to. So like when the sun comes up, turn them on, or when the sun goes down, turn them off kind of deal. Or maybe it's the other nice. Way around.
All right. You
know, type deal. So,
I just added them to my cart. I'll look at them tomorrow. Yeah.
Joe says in chat, he says there's been some chatter about banning TP-Link. Listen, any IoT you're buying right now, and Brian says he has some Casa smart outdoor plugs, love them for my Christmas lights. I think if you're going to be worried about they're all coming from China. So if you're going to be worried about any of that, then you be smart about how you put them on your network. Marv, this is what's crazy. Like most of these IoT devices, and maybe it's because of cost, are not doing 5G anywhere. They always have to be 2.4, yeah. Right? So on your Wi-Fi, and you know, I think most Wi-Fis are dual.
Well, I think right the now. Problem is they have to allow for backward compatibility, because the people that are getting these most of the time aren't guaranteed to have, you know, 5G, 6G. I mean, they're just not. So to be the most compatible, they're going to, you know, be able to do 2.4.
Yeah, they're just be like 2.4 only, and they're pretty adamant about it, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, they don't need a ton of bandwidth either.
You're correct. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've got decent speed, you know, in terms of upload, download, then the 2.4 doesn't matter. Because what you want is that fast connection if you're out of the house and you want to look back in, turn stuff on or off, have it be pretty instant. That's your internet.
Right. Right. Yeah. We, as I was trying to get internet out to the shed, you know, I bought a dual band extender that's 2.4 and 5. And to do video out there, I kind of need to be on the 5G band to really have it. It's faster, right? Works better that way.
Yeah.
But everything else, all the IoT devices went 2.4, and they're adamant about 2.4 only. I think they've had a lot of people send those back for whatever reason, not working on the 5 gig band or whatever, on the 5G band. So, and then Dan says, and Dan, this may be true. Marv, you can weigh in on this as well. He says, I was always under the impression that 2.4 can be more reliable.
It is. It is.
Walls and things like that.
Yeah, 2.4 is the broadest. It reaches further than, you know, the 5. That's one of the things with 5.5. You can't get the range as you can with 2.4. So if you're ever doing a Wi-Fi survey, those are the things that you have to know, and you have to space your stuff accordingly. So, yeah, 2.4 is still, you know, the beast in terms of reliability.
Yeah, right. Reliability, you know, serviceability.
Distance. Because the distance, too, that's always a thing. Everybody always, you know, complains, you know, oh, I get, you know, I'm only 100 feet away. Why isn't getting signal? Well, get off the 5 and you're on the 2.4.
But 5 is faster, right?
5 is with faster, yes.
Conditions being perfect. I think that's the right. It is faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we covered two birds with one stone on that. You had that on the notes to talk a little bit about, but I mean, I think certainly there are, there are some times, I think we're at that point now to start thinking about how do I unify, and we're going to move to that in a second, but how do I unify my IoT devices so I'm not managing them in 7,000 different, you know, different apps. Good segue. You had mentioned, how practical is it for Unify for home use? What makes you ask that question?
So let me go back a little bit, because I was one of those people where Unify was not on my radar because I was, you know, the business guy. I'm not going to use a consumer brand, which Unify was back in the beginning, for my networks. And about a year ago, it started getting real big traction in the managed services space. So independent service providers were all doing Unify, because Unify actually started to make big strides in the central management feature. Previous to a year or so ago, you would have to have gone with Hostify or host your own controller cloud, that sort of thing. And I didn't want to deal with the cloud keys. I thought that was stupid. I'm like, why can't these be like everything else? And why can't it just either be built in or have the web host company be able to do that? So I had just kind of poo-pooed Unify for a long time. Probably not being nice about it, I guess is the right way to say. Because it was, you know, it was like you're going to do business class or prosumer, and that's where Unify was. But Unify really has made some strides. And earlier this year, I had an old customer call me up, and who was going to open up a shop again. He does antique cars or high class car kits and stuff, but he was just going to be himself. He wasn't going to hire staff again, but he was going to have a shop. He wanted two computers and he wanted cameras. He wanted a doorbell system. And the gear that I normally use, well, one, I couldn't do the doorbell system. And to quote him, just for the router, the managed switch, the access points, I was trying to figure out if I'm going to go Ruckus, which is what I normally use. That was overkill for him. Was I going to go Datto? Datto comes with monthly subscriptions. That I didn't want to do for him. And I said, let me take a look at Unify, Ubiquiti stuff. And the Ubiquiti stuff actually floored me, because it is, I'll be honest, it's pretty good. It is, they're very solid with their gateways, and their gateways will do full, you know, gigabit internet, actually faster if you get the enterprise class. So you got gigabit internet, you've got full managed switches. Everything is, I don't want to say plug and play, but when you connect Ubiquiti devices to the network, it'll automatically recognize them. You can connect them. The access points, the Wi-Fi functionality is built right in there. The cameras, I purchased 6K, or what are they, their 6 series brand cameras. They're not the cheapest, you know, they're not like, you know, Hikvision or whatever stuff. So they're up there, but the AI cameras were even more. But the cameras that I put in, they're just little bullet cameras. They're a couple $100. Those things are clear, clear, clear. And they have a feature called smart detection, which is basically AI. Mm-hmm. So it will detect people, pets, cars. It'll read license plates. It'll do all that. So I ended up outfitting his office with, you know, the gateway router, a managed switch. I think it was 5 cameras. I did the doorbell camera. The doorbell camera picture actually is better than the other camera. So all of that stuff. So it was only about $4,000 for this guy. I was originally going to quote him like 9 to do everything. And it works fantastic. And he is happy as can be. As we Jim switches again,
I don't know what's going on tonight. We had some audio trouble earlier, and then for whatever reason I keep dropping. So maybe it's just cold weather coming in. So $4,000.
I don't know if you want me to show you what I'm doing with this guy.
Yeah, here, so let me switch. I'll switch over and make you a little bit bigger so folks can see as well.
Okay, let me get to the.
Oh, you want to share screens?
Yeah,
yeah. Bring that in, and we'll
pull this up here. Where is? I'll just do the screen 2. So did it come up? There it is.
There you go. Yeah. Let's go.
So this is, like I said, this is all, the platform is free. So it's not, I'm not paying any monthly subscriptions for this. So this is the dashboard. So we've got his internet connection up, all of his apps. I can see his topology. AT&T internet, there's his Wi-Fi, here's all of his cameras and stuff. It automatically, like I said, recognizes all the Ubiquiti devices plug in. But what's really cool is I'm running his cameras. And if I go to the dashboard, there's his camera view. This big picture here, this is his doorbell.
Wow.
And that's, is at night, pretty clear. At the lower left here, that's the, you know, Amazon pickup. So if they leave a box,
nice.
Can see it under the camera there.
I like it.
So that's
about cameras being influenced by our social habits. Like, you know, before the whole Amazon thing, we were worried about is maybe who's coming up to the door, but now you got to have that package view, right?
Yep. So actually, he's got 6 cameras. I forgot. So there's 5 there. Then when, you know, the old camera systems, you know, you had to go to the timeline. You had to know what time of day you wanted to look for, scroll through and stuff. But now it'll actually, and he's probably some stuff going on there. but here's all the times that the camera recorded. And you can see it's got when a car goes by, if a person walks by. Here's somebody on a bicycle that if we zoom in on there, the bicycle is going to be across the street. There he is over here. So there's somebody. I mean, it's one of these things where it's actually amazing. And it's only recording, you know, what we tell it to record. So it's not running the entire time. And you can just scroll through here. Here's, you know, a picture of somebody walking by. And when you go to look in, you see he's across the street. He's all the way over there getting into that car.
That's almost too good. Well, I mean, do you want to be tracking, you know, this is, I kind of have this dilemma with my neighbors that my garage cam picks up my neighbor's driveway too. And at some point I had to say to him, hey, I just want to let you know, I've put a camera up here. It is, it's tracking your driveway. I've actually tried to eliminate his driveway space as an alarm space, right? To alert me on that. But man, if I was getting alerted for people across the street, I don't know. I don't know. It seems like I'd get a lot of alerts, you know?
Yeah. I can do that here. You can tell it, hey, don't record there. You're here. I've not gone in to do any of that yet. But then go network stuff. So again, this has the capability of dual internets. And then, let's see, here's, it's given the throughput there. I want to go to settings, I think. And then built-in Wi-Fi. So there's all the stuff. I can create and manage the Wi-Fi through there. I can do regular stuff, VLAN networks and all of that. I can dig deeper into each port on the gateway. So if I want to assign WAN or not, I can do VPNs. And one of the things that actually sold me on this, if you have two Ubiquiti locations, rather than having to go in and configure IP addresses and all of that stuff in your, what they call the site view or the site manager. So these are the only ones I have so far. If I want to do a VPN, all I have to do is pick one, pick the other, hit VPN, and it'll configure it automatically.
Oh, nice.
I mean, nice. Can't be any simpler than that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's so that's the background. And then I happened to be looking through Reddit and somebody was talking about, yeah, I want to get some Wi-Fi for my house. I just want to know if Ubiquiti is practical for the home use. And I'm thinking, okay, how can it not be? Where literally all of this is self-contained. Not only can you do your internet, your gateway, you know, access point, you can do switches, you can do access points, you can do cameras. They actually will do door access control. So if you live at a house and you're fortunate to have a gate, in the front of your house, you can put a Ubiquiti gate controller to open and close the gate. They are coming up with an alarm system at some point.
Are they? They're not monitoring yet, are they?
I don't think they're monitoring.
Okay. Yeah, they're kind of everything except monitoring at this point. I mean, they've got most of the endpoint devices. Marv, this is an area where I'll be honest. Okay, first, it's expensive, right? Their equipment, not cheap. This is not cheap, you know, $7 sensors that you're getting, you know, from them. Their equipment's pretty cheap. And then I also have this phrase, you know, options equal confusion. And you and I like digging into those pages. Is the average consumer going to be able to do that?
Well, the regular consumer, no.
Okay.
Okay. But for the techs that are doing their home labs, that are trying to, you know, MacGyver stuff and jerry-rig stuff. Yeah. I mean, they also have a NAS that you can connect to that as well. I've not used that yet. But if you want to be able to have a network that is cohesive, you know, and works together, Unify might be an option. And listen, some home lab guys are spending tons of money to put in home servers and all of that stuff. If you're going to spend the money to go out and, you know, run your own cameras, why not consider something like this? So that was my only thing. Yeah, is it for, you know, Aunt Betty down the street? Not unless you're going to manage it for her.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to be the guy in the neighborhood that helps everyone, you might decide, hey, let me put all this.
What you need is a giant snowblower and Unify, you know, Ubiquiti systems to get it all set up, right? Do you think, though, I mean, this is from a tech guy perspective, like we're all hobbled together now as it is. Like we've been buying things as they come out. We're early adopters on stuff. We've got, you know, I'm still using Philips Hue. Like I would never buy Hue lights today, but Hue lights were everything, you know, 4 years ago. And maybe six. And like, so I've got all this technical debt associated with this. You know, I run a Bitdefender box that I've probably had way too long. They still support the firmware for it. And I can still buy a subscription to kind of, you know, it gives me the protection, the home protection that I need from a Wi-Fi router. Right. But, for me thinking about, okay, if I was going to go all in one, as good as you're showing it, right, man, I'm throwing a lot of things away, right? All of a sudden I'm upgrading a lot of stuff and throwing, I don't have to, but if I'm buying it to get all the management stuff, right? I mean, cameras, I got to get rid of all my Ring cameras.
You might want to pose a question to the chat because I'm looking here. There's several people running Ubiquiti stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, right on. No, listen, this audience, for sure. I'm just trying to think, okay, for me, I don't have any of this equipment in my space right now. And I'm thinking, okay, my wireless router is getting long in the tooth, right? It's been, like I said, I probably had it 6 or 7 years. It does the job, but at some point it's going to give up the ghost, right? It's going to stop.
Yeah, but I mean, you can get yourself into a Ubiquiti gateway for $129.
Yeah. So you're saying, okay, start with the cloud gateway. Right. That's going to be the device that's going to get me in. It's going to give me Wi-Fi, all those things. Right. And is there security software included in some of this as far as managing what's coming and going?
So, well, remember the management console is free. What I just showed you, that's how you manage everything. That's free. There is some cyber software that you can get on top of it if you want to add capabilities to the firewall features. That's $99 a year. Probably not something a home user would do, but I've done that for all my business clients. I just, you know, roll that into the monthly. Home labbers may do that, but probably not. But the basic firewall features, I think, are pretty much enough. You can still do some content filtering and all of that. So.
Yeah, I do. One of the things with the Bitdefender box that I've always appreciated is they've kind of managed all of those things for me. They have a standard configuration. I don't have to monkey with it. It's $99 a year. For that $99, I get as many endpoint antivirus, you know, Bitdefender antivirus applications that I can. It's been a pretty nice, that's one of the subscriptions I kind of don't like. You know, grit my teeth at the end of the year, you know, like it's $100. They're doing a good job of protecting me. They stop a lot, you know, and some of those kinds of things. But I am thinking, you've got me thinking, like, you know, like good life insurance, at some point you're going to need it. And I'm thinking like, okay, what's my next wireless router going to be? And this would, from a, usage standpoint, this would be the right, we get Uncle Marv back here. I don't know why we're having these issues tonight. I don't know what's going on.
I touch nothing.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I think I'm going to say it's Restream that's having, maybe they're having, let's just blame it on them. How's that sound?
All right. We can do that. We'll blame it on Restream.
It can't be you, and it can't be me.
So I was going to tell you, when I came into here, the Restream platform has changed since I've used it. So I actually got Restream 2 years ago because I was going to do some Amazon Live and on their platform. Okay. And you need Restream to use Amazon Live if you're going to do streaming like you and I are used to, because the only way to use Amazon Live was through either a phone or a tablet. I'm not using a tablet.
Right.
So Restream would actually work off of the Amazon Live platform, but it didn't have all the bells and whistles that StreamYard had, so I never could commit to it.
Yeah, I may go back to StreamYard, just to be honest. I think the next iteration for the podcast, you know, I've been broadcasting at 720p forever, right? And we always used to say, oh, that's what YouTube broadcasts at anyways. Well, not anymore. Like, that was a long time ago. I'm pretty sure you can stream at 4K on YouTube at this point. But I think I was like, yeah, if I'm going to make a jump, maybe I'll go. Because I really like StreamYard. I really like that platform. They just got a little pricey on me. And I was like, and then
the other I'm about ready to drop my, so I'm on the top plan.
Okay.
But I don't need the top plan anymore. Right. So I'm going to drop.
Well, I don't know what's going on. Dan out in chat says that maybe they heard that we were complaining. And they're like, oh, turn on the switch for them. Well, that's okay. As tech guys, this is what we put up with. Well, Marv, you got me thinking, right, on this you know, Unify Ubiquity piece. Like, we've talked about these guys for a long time. And, you know, they've been in the space in this. And I've haven't had the need. I keep thinking, you know, I'm gonna ask you a question about de-gadgetifying your space here in just a second. But I'm also trying to get to simpler solutions. Not less capable, just simpler. Like, I want the complexity, but I want them to handle the complexity. And it's easy for me to kind of set up. If I were to say that now that you're managing that now, I'm maybe a little more tech savvy than most. Is this a system that I could set up easily now based on what you've done? Not necessarily take advantage of everything, but it would give me some robustness in my network.
I'll be honest, it is super easy.
Okay.
I mean, super easy. Once you get the main gateway set up and registered to the Unify platform, everything's pretty much there.
Okay.
And like I said, once you start adding devices, they're just going to pop up in the box. And I mean, you do have to actually activate them to work with the Ubiquity platform. But other than that, once they start populating and stuff, it's super easy. Even the updating, it'll, you know, when you go into the platform, it'll tell you, hey, these things need to be updated. You can either schedule it or do you want to do it manually? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, I mean, part of it is me looking at this going, man, why didn't I look at this sooner?
Yeah.
Because I've got some law offices that are not very big and probably didn't need the infrastructure that I put in. I could have put this in, done the simple, you know, VPN between the offices. There's some other monitoring that I like with this where I can actually see what countries some of the traffic is going to. It's just some features that they're like enterprise level features, but they're in here. So if I wanted to block a device from getting to Twitter, I just find, if I see Twitter here, I can click on it. It'll say, hey, do you want to block this? Boom, done. I mean, super configuration stuff. It is easy.
You buy those Tapo plugs that we were looking at and you're running this locally, pretty easy to block those from calling back home, do you think? Devices outside the network?
Yeah, because if you are on the Wi-Fi, it'll recognize all the devices and it'll track, you know, where those devices are phoning home to, and then you just basically block the country or block the IP address.
Yeah. Well, I would like a plug like that, you would think shouldn't be calling home, but it does. They do get occasional updates that you need to install, but you could open it up, install the update, shut it back down, right, if you wanted to.
I'm afraid to share again, but I mean, there's a flow summary. There's a top destinations. Top clients, top apps, and it'll put flags by the country so that you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I'm looking at this and it's only mostly US. I've got a couple of Canadas and stuff, so I don't have a bunch of ones going out the country. I did have one client where when I set up the Watt box, I kept trying to figure out why is this going to Germany? And the Watt boxes are connecting to a server in Germany.
Do you know why? So, is that home for them?
And here's a Microsoft connection in Ireland that I'm looking at for some reason.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Oh, listen, when the kids were young, I set up all kinds of, hold on. I want to get Joe's comment. Joe said, okay, real quick, Unify Express 7 or Dream Router 7 would be good options for the home.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And I want to run a scenario by you, but when the kids were younger, I did all this monitoring to try and keep them safe. This was, you know, 20 years ago. So we were still, you know, there was a program called Enough that I put on there to kind of block things and set timers for stuff and kind of keep my kids safe. But the management of all those IPs and where they're going and what they're doing, and sometimes it's cryptic and you don't know. I found myself getting more paranoid about, like, I was more worried that I was monitoring it than when I wasn't. You know, it was almost kind of like ignorance is bliss, you know?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
You know, and then you start digging into this stuff and it can be endless, like, okay, I'm going to do a reverse IP lookup. And so you do that and it's not real clear where that's coming from. And then you start getting like, I don't know, maybe I ought to just cut off the internet, you know? So that was a struggle in those days.
This does give you more information that you would be used to at home.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, it's again, you don't have to look at it. I mean, once you set everything up, it just works.
Yeah. No, right on. I just know me. I just know I'm going to get, you know, there's some night, some evening, I'll be like, oh, this is interesting. And then it's 3 a.m. You know, the next thing you're like, oh, where did that time go? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm replacing the Bitdefender box. I'm going to go with the gateway, put something in. I'm going to spend $200, which I'd spend anyways on a decent Wi-Fi solution for the house. I'm assuming I don't need extenders, but the Ubiquiti, they have Ubiquiti extenders as well, right? That I could put around. I could either wire into the house if I needed to or not. I wouldn't need one. I have a small enough house. I can generally get away with one access point. Is the next thing I go with a managed switch? So I have a 24 port Linksys. It's not managed. It's just a dumb switch, but I run everything into that. Is that the next logical step for me?
Yeah, that would be the next step, because the gateway is only going to give you the connection and the stuff. The managed switch is what is going to give you all of that traffic information, you what all the devices you are. So they do work hand in hand. I know people that, you know, put in a gateway without it because they're managing it with all their other tools. But as an MSP, we do that sort of stuff. Home users are probably not going to management. Like, I would have a Domotes box that would do all of my, you know, network monitoring sensors. I would have a Ingenious switch where I can, you know, cloud control that. But again, the Ubiquiti, you get the gateway, then you get the switch, and then you can see literally everything.
Yeah.
Then you get the access points, and I think that's pretty good for most.
So I'm $400 at that point, right? Earth being three. If I went with the 24,
you said you got a 24 port. You said
24 port switch. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get by with a standard 24. That's 225.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So $400 basically.
Yeah.
$450. Okay. Well, it's good to know. I mean, it's both the Bitdefender box and the Linksys switch are aging, you know, and they're fine. I mean, they're gigabit and they do their job, and I haven't had any trouble with them except for tonight. That's not true either. But the who knows anymore, Marv? Yeah. What goes wrong? These things get wacky, and you don't know if it's Restream or your local box or your PC or your internet connection or the weather.
Well, the Ubiquiti would tell you if you've got good internet connection. It literally has, I don't know, that first screen I had, there's a status bar that gives you what your internet connection is, and it tells you if there's latency, if there's packet loss. Most of the time, we're not going to be able to see that in any of the other, you know, firewalls or stuff without some sort of tool. It's built into the Ubiquiti.
Yeah. Joe also says remote power cycling, you know, PoE ports.
Oh, yep. You can do that.
Managed switches are handy, right? To be able to jump in that. And then he also says VLANs are ridiculously easy as well.
Yeah.
I haven't, back in the Uyghur days, Uyghur set up a bunch of VLANs and, you know, he was all into that. I did that a couple times, and then I was like, I don't want to do this ever again.
Really?
I didn't find the benefit worth the time. Tell me how's it benefit you? You tell me.
So the benefit for me is, let's say I want, okay, here's what I have at my house now. I've got a Sonic wall, but you know, all the smart TV devices, you know, I've got Roku boxes and all of that. I want those to be on the Wi-Fi, but I don't want them to be on the same Wi-Fi that a guest would use when they come into the house. So VLANs specifically for a guest Wi-Fi is the first thing. The second thing is, if you want to get nerdy about it, you put all of those managed devices on their own VLAN with just the amount of connection that they need, and save your bandwidth for, you know, your tablets and your laptops and stuff like that. That's getting nerdy about it. But if you want to segment that stuff, those are really the first things that I would say you know, segment a guest network for Wi-Fi. So that way, you know, because you don't want to give people the Wi-Fi password that connects to all your stuff.
Right.
You know, and now that we know that, you know, our refrigerators and our stoves and our coffees all connect to the internet, you know, I don't want people spying on me through those devices.
It was the Nespresso machine that took me down. Those people at Nespresso, which is owned by Nestle now, by the way. But I do have a guest network on my Bitdefender box. I'm assuming that's a VLAN. I just
that is VLAN.
Set up, right? They did that for me, right? From that.
Yeah, usually when you've got a device like that and you set up another SSID, it should automatically provision a separate network.
Okay. Yeah. Do you also? I went through this week because we had last weekend had a mini power failure on the backup, so on the battery that I have. It reset for some reason. I'm still trying to track it down. I think I overloaded it, but shut the switch off. You know, I have it so it doesn't do that. That's one of the things I don't ever want it to shut off, that because it's a backup, right? It shut the computers off. But as soon as all my boxes came back up, it started randomly assigning new IPs to, you know, so like the Mac runs channels and I access channels from various devices based on IP address. Now the Mac is a different IP address. And I don't set DHCP or I don't set static addresses for everything. Do you do that on your network? Do you, like, for the things that are regular, do you have a spreadsheet that's got all your devices and what their IP should be? I mean, I've done that before. For whatever reason, it never sticks.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. But I also have a Domotes box at the house, so I can always see what they were. And if something changes, it would alert me. But yeah, I do assignments.
The Bitdefender box is not good at this. This is where it's kind of chintzy and you feel like it should be working. And in the past it hasn't. And then as soon as I set up that spreadsheet, I start moving things around and then it's like, it's out of date. And I'm like, oh, now I got to go back in and.
Yeah. And that's
back.
I mean, I didn't realize how easy that was on the Ubiquiti as well. Setting up those devices, you know, you can actually let it connect and then just, there's a little button that says, make this static. Boom.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
I'm assuming you could choose, you could tell that device, don't take that IP address, change it to this one and then cycle it. So it does that as
well. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. You've given me some, you know, this has been in the back of my mind of like, hey, what's the next for me? What's the next? Is that okay? So I'm coming to you and I'm your customer now. And you know, I'm running a Bitdefender box, which has worked well for me, but it's dead. And I'm going to have to replace my Wi-Fi solution. Are you sending me down this route? Or you're like, Jim, you should really look at these devices. Is that what you'd say to me?
Well, I would ask you basically a question two ways.
Okay.
Do you want a unified system that everything works together, it's simple, and is basically secure? Or do you want to go next level and do things that is rock solid, enterprise type networking?
Can I get both?
You can get both, but you're going to spend the same amount of money.
Yeah. Now for sure.
Because you can do that in the Ubiquiti line. They have enterprise level stuff, but for most people, you can get by on the basic level and have a good unified secure network.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably the right way to go. You know, just to be honest, where we land. I mean, what are your thoughts on these ASUS routers that, you know, although we haven't talked routers in a long time. So I'm sitting here thinking like, what do people buy these days for,
you know,
for
what Wi-Fi most routers? People, here's the problem. Home users aren't buying much because the internet providers are giving them routers and saying, this is all you need. And then they're selling them a security package.
Yeah.
And
well, they're feeding internet to the neighborhood too, through it. Right. That's the, like, you're right. So
And they hate when you put in a firewall, you know, in between their stuff. They hate it. So they're doing all that. So from a residential perspective, it's one of my frustrations, which is why I don't like doing residential, because I don't like fighting with Comcast, Xfinity,
for sure.
Verizon.
With commercial, you don't fight with those guys?
No, not so much. No.
Okay.
Now, there are some So Comcast is one of those ones that they're trying to make everything ubiquitous. So they're trying to do both business and residential the same. They're putting in the same router in both, which frustrates me. And I'm like, this is a business. These guys have to be up.
Yeah.
And we are going to put in a firewall because we need to manage things like incoming connections and, you know, our VLANs, and we need to be able to manage that. So one of the things that has been tough with Comcast is telling them, put your modem in bridge mode and just let us manage the IP. And first of all, don't know what bridge mode is.
Right.
They don't know what pass-through means, where it's like, you give us the traffic, pass through the control to us and let us do it. And the problem is, again, like I said, Comcast and these companies don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And the bigger you are in business, the less they argue with you. But if you're a small business, you know, 10 or less users and stuff, they're going to try to say, look, just, you know, we prefer you not do that. But I tell them, look, I run security, I run cyber, and we're putting in this firewall, so you need to accommodate that.
Dan out in chat says, I've talked to so many younger folks these days who don't even bother to know what a router yes. or a modem is. The box they just get from the ISP just is, it's just my Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. It's, yeah. I mean, and the consumer doesn't want to mess around. Listen, it's a consumer that is okay with just their phone. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So can I get it?
They need Wi-Fi on their phone. Yeah.
That's all they need. You know, that's all I need. And in some cases they don't even know. Like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, no, I didn't know I was connected to my carrier. I was using data or I was not, you know, whatever. So, Marv, let's wrap it on this. So you've given me some things. Listen, an hour ago, if you would have asked me, hey, your router's going out tonight, maybe it is. It's a very good possibility. My router is dying as we speak. I don't know if I would have had a plan. I think tonight, as I think through it, I think I'm a little more clear. I've always seen Unify stuff is just super expensive. And then as we started looking at tonight, I'm kind of like, oh, actually, okay, it is, but it's not as bad as I thought maybe it was.
Right.
You know, so cool. Thanks for the help on that one. Hey, you said in your notes, we'll wrap it up on this. You're also in a gadget detox. Like, how can you come on my show and say to me you're in a gadget? What does that even mean? I don't understand it. Talk to us.
So,
what?
So, starting with Black Friday, I have been on this binge of buying stuff. Now, a lot of it is podcast gear.
Sure.
Because I was trying to finally utilize the Rodecaster video device that I bought earlier last year because I wanted something that would capture video on the road when I was doing podcast a lot better. I wanted to auto switch cameras, and I bought the Rodecaster video thinking, oh, that'll be it. Wrong. Because to use it, you've got to have the right cameras, which are going to be the high HDMI type cameras. Most of those are those digital cameras that are like $1,000. And I'm like, I can't spend $1,000 a camera now that I bought this.
Right.
The Rodecaster S was $1,299 by itself. And luckily, I got a sponsor. I got a gear sponsor last year that paid for it.
Okay.
So I haven't been able to hurry up the gear. So I finally got an Osbot camera that was HDMI that would work with it, but this was $450.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, but those conference room cameras that look like those, right? The they're $4,000. They're $6,000.
Yeah, so, the PTZs.
So
I'm trying to outfit the Rodecaster S. I'm trying to get some other gear. I had to get an HDMI monitor for that. I told you I was looking for smart plugs for the house. I was looking for all of these things. And finally, I just said to myself, dude, you got to stop. I bought more pod mics because I'm doing a local podcast for my area here. So I had to get a separate area when we have guests come in there because I can't do guests here. So I've got two podcast space now. And I'm like, you know what? I gotta slow down. So I figured I'm only going to spend what I need to spend for work and everything else. Once I get these smart plugs, I'm going to go on a digital detox for gear.
Now, okay. It's great to say that. I know it feels good. How are you going to actually do that? Like I keep saying that with whiskey, like, you know, since the pandemic, I've been on a tear. And I'm looking at my whiskey collection right there. I'm like, it looks beautiful, right? And I'm like, so in January, I was like, I bought some. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm not buying any more. And then I bought some more, right? And you're like, okay, that's it. I'm buying only, you know. And then and I think tech prices are a little bit this way too. Not for everything, but, you know, whiskey prices are dropping, right? With all the tariff stuff and you know, especially with the Canadian tariff, and the Canadians are now buying American whiskey. So whiskey's getting cheap. So you see it, you're like, I can't afford not to buy this.
Right.
Yeah. How are you going to battle that when you see, you know, I think tech stuff may be in a similar situation where some stuff may go on sale. How do you stop yourself?
It'll be interesting. I think the only thing that would be a factor is my sponsors.
Okay.
If I, because I've got, so let me, here's the other thing. So I had a meeting with my Net Ally person yesterday because they reached out and they want me to review an upcoming device. And I said, oh, yes, I do, because I haven't gotten a new device.
Right. Yeah.
So we started talking. I don't know if you remember those devices. I mean, they started $1,000 and, you know, the one that I got, the CyberScope, is basically 12 grand.
Right.
For my networking.
Yeah, those were nice. Yeah.
So now I'm, so that's what actually got me to the point where now I'm getting all this new Netgear stuff. I mean, Net Ally stuff. I need to be good for the, for a while. So.
All right. Well, let me know how it goes. We won't go 10 months to have you back on to see how that is going. It's hard. It is. Listen, I'm also trying to buy less tech, but what's in my hands today? You know, I've got some sensors, and then I was only going to go with one, and then I started setting it up, and it's like, oh, you need the hub. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. Next time I buy one, I'm going to get the hub. Well, of course you buy one, you know, it was a month ago. And so it's hard. I get it.
Weird because some of it's FOMO, you know, it's, you know, our technology is so geared towards, you know, if you don't buy something once a year, you feel left behind.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, my wife, we were talking about the iPhones, you know, my iPhone's 2 years old, and she's like, and I'm already getting the notifications. Hey, you're due for an upgrade. I'm like, this is working just fine.
I understand. Yeah. I bought those AirPod Pro 3s, and I couldn't do I bought them for the translation capabilities, but you'd have to have a 15 or plus or above, and I have a 12. It's like, well, I guess I'm getting a new phone. It's been great. It's been dynamite. Like, I'm glad I got a new phone, but.
So yeah. here's the way to gauge that.
Okay.
So you're an Amazon guy, right?
Yep, for sure.
So do you have stuff saved for later?
Yes. And oh no, don't tell me to delete it.
I want to say, how many do you have in your save for later?
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 20 maybe. Type.
That's it?
I'm watching the price. Yeah.
That's it?
Oh, you have more?
I have 130.
Oh, yikes. Okay. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have a sickness. Yeah. I mean,
I've got cameras in here. I've got LED lights. I've got, you know.
What are you hoping for? Why are they there? Like, are you there so you watch? Are you hoping the prices will come down and you'll catch?
No, to be honest, a lot of them are here just so that a lot of them are like, okay, I need to remember that when it comes time, I don't want to have to go like I've found stuff and I'm like, okay, I want this, but I don't need it now.
Yeah,
but it's there.
That could be a whole show in itself, right? Show us your
save for later card. Now, some of these I can take out. Like, I actually just got one of these is a mixer bag that. So again, the Rodecaster video, I didn't have a carrying case for it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I had two of those.
And you're traveling with it, right? That makes sense.
Yeah. So those are the types of things that, you know, I keep in there. Things that I buy on a regular basis, I'll just keep there. Because it's either I go there or I go to buy again and search for it.
Yeah. Mine is all solar stuff that I'm hoping will get cheaper. So like I was like, you know, the extra battery for the EcoFlow battery that I have, you can buy an extra battery and plug it in. It's like $800 for two kilowatt hour extender battery. That's too much. So I'm magically hoping that someday there'll be a wildfire sale and I'll be able to pick it up for $400, maybe $500. Probably never. But that's my strategy, is hope is a strategy of hope, where I just hope that they'll decrease in price, you know. And so every day at some point, maybe a couple times a day, I go to the list, refresh it, and see what the how the prices have changed, because they're changing all the time.
Yeah, like, they are. Yeah,
unbelievably how often these things change. And I have to admit, very few items have actually been purchased from that list. Like I don't know why. I've bought more in the last 6 months just from necessity than I have off the list. You know, because here's why. One, I'm super cheap. And then two, there's no price that's cheap enough for me. So you're like, oh, like it gets down to the lowest price I've seen ever. And I'm like, it could still get cheaper. And then you know what it does? It goes back up because Amazon knows what's
happening. Oh, yeah. They
know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
It's evil.
We could do a show. I'm sitting here looking at the categories because, you know, they give you categories now stuff you've done. So I've got, you know, my VoIP phones. I've got here's my swimming pool chlorine because I buy the same ones over again.
Right. Yeah.
Continuous
outdoor lighting. For my chipper. I have a little chipper. I have blades for my chipper in there because the other ones might wear out. You know, it took me a while to find them the first time.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Well, Marv, good luck on being able to try to detox. You know, it's a tough.
It's one day at a time.
No,
one day
it at is. A time. It is. It's a tough thing. One day you just realize. Well, you
know. I figure I'm going to gauge myself in February because February should be easy. Like I said, I've got 3 weeks of conferences out of the four. Okay. So, yeah. And the other thing is, on a personal note, my mom has been in and out of the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I may be having to go visit her on the weekend. So that'll take away time. So
yeah. Yeah. Listen, idle hands are the Amazon purchasing workshop, right? Yeah. You know, you're just like, oh, I'm kind of bored today. Well, what could I go over? What can I get at Amazon, you know, type deal. So
yeah,
whatever. Do you buy tech anywhere else than Amazon? I mean, for personal stuff. I know for your business, you probably do other things, but
sometimes I guess B&H Photo. Mm-hmm. Has become a place where it's weird sometimes.
But that's podcasting gear for you, right?
Not always. It's sometimes really? I have found IT gear there. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It is one of those where it is one of those things where they've had computers there.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Macs for sure. I think you can get a Mac from them for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I want to go to walmart.com from time to time. But they third party their stuff just as hard as Amazon does. Like, so, you know, if you see it on Amazon, search for it at walmart.com. You can find it over there. It may be a little bit cheaper, but then it's not really them anyways, but it's not really Amazon in some cases too.
Yeah.
You know, not that that matters. I don't know why that should matter. I don't know. They've sucked us in, man. We are addicted to free shipping. That's the crack.
That is. And everybody else has tried to match it. You know, Walmart and Target now have the delivery services, you know, where you can get stuff in, you know, as little as 2 hours.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I was ordering. Okay. So I was working on the basement stuff all the way back to the beginning of the show. And I wanted to plug up my basement drain that's down there. And I went to Lowe's. I went locally to try to find this stuff. And I went to Lowe's and blah, 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 whatever. Eventually, what I really needed was these plug devices that are designed for pools. And you put them in the end of the pipes and you can screw the thing and it opens up and it locks itself in and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. This was last night. I ordered them. They came at 6 o'clock this morning from Amazon. And I was like, you know, I know for a lot of folks for a long time, they've been doing overnight. I live in Omaha, Nebraska. we have not had overnight like that for very long. That's kind of crazy.
When they started doing same day here.
Yeah.
That made it real tough because I'll be honest, I'd rather spend 10 minutes on Amazon finding it and clicking send as opposed to Let me get in the car. Yeah. Let me go to Lowe's, Home Depot. Yeah.
Well, I went to Lowe's and bought things that didn't work. So now I got to go back and return them. That reinforces the bad behavior of just sitting here. Last night is about this time. It was maybe even a little later, like 10 maybe last night. Ordered them. They're like, oh, if you order them in, within 2 hours, you can get them overnight. And I'm like, serious? Boom. On the this morning, I have a picture of them on my porch. Still dark. I was like, what? You know?
I would love to hear the logistics on how they're doing that, because they can't have... I know they're building warehouses like crazy, but I believe that they are working with a lot of local stores and not telling us.
You think so?
They've got to.
Yeah, it's crazy. These were pool stopper plug screw Titan things, whatever they are. Super obscure. Overnight, they were on my.
Yeah, I mean, those are the types of things. Like, are they really sitting at the warehouse ready to go?
I can't find them local. I couldn't find those locally. Like, it wasn't even a, you know. And I went to some. They're pretty common things. But I was still like, how does this happen? We have some pretty. I mean, we've got one in Council Bluffs and I think two in Omaha. So we've got some pretty big distribution centers. But it's still. Marv, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, how, and overnight. So anyways, I don't know. They've got us hooked for sure.
Oh, they do.
You'll have to, next time you're on, you'll have to update us on your detox. Let us know. How's the gadget? Every time I say this and you're in the same boat, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do this tech stuff and I'm definitely not going to do reviews anymore. I get 3 emails from companies. Hey, if we send you this, would you do a review? Like, oh, okay. You know, send it to me. So, and I do terrible reviews. I mean, we do them on the show here. This, by the way, this Tapo stuff I bought. There's no sponsorship on any of these things. But it's almost like the system is against me sometimes. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing anything. Like the vendors hear me say that somehow. And then they're like, would you please review something for us? So I don't know.
Yeah, they know.
All right.
And obviously it works too, or else they wouldn't keep asking.
For sure it does. For sure it does. Yeah, they've figured it out. Podcast-wise, give us a quick rundown. What are you doing podcasting-wise and how do people find you?
So the main podcast is Uncle Marv's IT Business Podcast, located at itbusinesspodcast.com. 10 years of podcasting this year.
Congrats.
With that show.
Good work.
So this year will be all about some new series that we're doing. Of course, Net Ally is going to be doing some stuff. My regular vendor shows, my Wednesday live shows are 8 p.m. Eastern, and I will be doing a lot more shows with other techs and MSPs. And I will try to have a weekly top 10 list. My top 10 this past week were the top 10 things IT pros did during the M365 outage. And it's just satirical. You know, the number one thing was like, on-prem never looked so good, did it? You know, I think number two was blame DNS as we always do. Oh, and then realized the whole world was out.
That's right. Yeah, those are good. Yeah, on-prem never looks so good. I like that one. It's like, yeah, you're wishing like, or somebody to come along like, hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to put these, we ought to build our own servers, our own cloud servers and host them locally, right? We used to do that.
Yeah. So you know, that's the main podcast.
Cool. Good.
I've got the Unhealthy Podcast, which is rolling back up where we're talking about how to fix unhealthy habits, both, nice. Body, mind, and spirit. We're going to talk relationships. And then those are the two that probably would be the most. I've got 4 going right now.
Where would we go to find any of those? Do you have a site?
So unhealthypodcast.com is that one.
Okay.
And both of those pages, you can go there and find your favorite podcatcher by clicking the follow button at the top right.
Sweet.
We're in most of the platforms. Search for Uncle Marv. That'll be the easier.
Uncle Marv will get you there for sure. Yeah. That will get you there. You are the Uncle Marv. Do you have theunclemarv.com?
I have uncle marv.com.
Oh, nice. Okay, so not even the. Do you have Uncle Marv?
Uncle Marv.com. I bought that thing probably like 2005. I didn't start using it until 2 years ago.
Really? It just sat there the whole time?
Yep. Paid like 10 bucks a year for it or whatever, 12 bucks
a year. That gets me thinking, maybe I should, you know, I should go by Grandpa Jim. That's what my granddaughters call me, Grandpa Jim. Yeah. They've got a bunch of grandpas, so I'm Grandpa Jim. And guess what? GrandpaJim.com is available.
You better, wrap it up, because here's the problem. Now that you've searched for it, if you don't buy it, the next time you go look for it, somebody will have
it.
Yeah,
you're probably right. Yeah,
because I have a couple of things. Like, I had Reunion Podcast for a while that I was doing for my personal one. I dropped it, didn't renew it, went back not even a month later, not available. So I think people are just saying, somebody looked for this? Oh, let me take it.
Oh, that's sneaky. Yeah, that's sneaky. That is sneaky. Well, Marv, thanks for coming on. Always good to be with you. Sorry it was 10 months. It's been a crazy.
I'm not going to push you. You had Aaron on, what, three times, four times?
Oh, ouch. Well, two and a half, because she bailed on me on one of those, right? She was on with Uyghur.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
We lost her from the hotel room. Yeah, I did. So, ouch. Sorry. We'll get you back sooner than that. Can you hang with me as I close this thing up? Will that work? Yep. So a couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join us in the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Don't forget theaverageguy.tv, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And you know that's Christian. He was just on a couple weeks ago. If you haven't caught it, you can go back and listen to it. Visit maplegrovepartners.com. They're doing some pretty bang up work for you. He'll kind of just do about anything, and plans start at $10 a month. So check it out today. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. I got a bunch scheduled here coming up. TJ Huddleston is coming in next week. We'll get an update from him on things that are going on. And then longtime host from Australia, longtime, like very first show, Andrew Morris, is going to join me on the 12th. And then, sorry, Marv, Aaron Lawrence will be back on the 19th. I had to get her back in here, and she'll be back in. And so you got some shows coming up. Join us on these Thursdays. Love to have you join us live. Dan says, great show. Thanks, Dan. For Dan, Joe, Tony was out there. I saw Ken a little bit earlier. And I think that's everybody. Thanks for joining us in the live chat room. You could join us live too. Come out on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, theaverageguy.tv/live. Easiest way to find that YouTube video. If you join us in the Discord group, I post the link in there every week. You can jump in there and see what we're doing. And be on the show. We'll be back next week. With that, we'll say goodbye.
The screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.